protection whatsoever. So if we can support him in some way, like with a ground sheet or with a tent, that would be very, very welcome. Good news from Romilly Micklem. He's now been awarded his PhD after years and years of what sounded like struggle anyway. And finally, Ray would like to say a few words about the harvest lunch next week.
Good morning again. If you haven't seen the notices everywhere, just a reminder, next Sunday, following the service at 11 o'clock, there will be a harvest lunch. Everyone is welcome. If you can, bring something to share, something local to you, special to you. If you can't, turn up, there will be enough food. We're providing soups and other things to fill up the gaps. There's lots of people bringing things. We've got nice hot courses and puddings, so please come along. And if you know anybody else who would appreciate a nice friendly lunch, invite them also. Thank you. Next Sunday.
Let us join together to worship God. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So let us worship God as we sing, "To God be the glory."
Thank you.
After our opening prayer of praise, we'll move on to a prayer of confession, which has a bidding and a response. The bidding from me is, forgive us, we pray, the response, and help us to start again. Forgive us, we pray, and help us to start again. We join to pray. Powerful, ever-present God, you make yourself known to us through the mystery and energy of your creation. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. You reveal your purposes in the ministry and mission of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose to life again. Help us to trust him as our Lord and as our Saviour. You send your Holy Spirit to help us glimpse your kingdom and give us hope to strive for it. Enable us to work with you for your rule of justice and peace. You call us to teach others and to keep growing in the faith ourselves. Yet we have settled for easy answers and avoided challenging issues. For our resistance to your teaching, forgive us, we pray, and help us to start again. You show us in Jesus what it means to care for others, yet we would sooner sit on our hands than offer them in your service. For our slowness to follow the example of Jesus, forgive us, we pray, and help us to start again. You give us this world and all living things as gifts to treasure. Yet we have damaged and despoiled them by ignorance, impatience, and greed. For our failure to take care of the planet entrusted to us, forgive us, we pray, and help us to start again. You challenge your people by your prophets, old and new, to confront the injustice in their lives and communities. Yet we feel uncomfortable when our double standards are brought home to us. For our failure to work for peace with justice, forgive us, we pray, and help us to start again. The God of new beginnings releases us from past wrongs, refreshes our energy in the present, and renews us for the future. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. When you're a follower of Jesus, you do what you do, because you believe it to be the right thing to be doing. You just do it. And sometimes people will notice. Sometimes somebody will say thank you. And sometimes they won't notice. And sometimes nobody will say anything. But when you're a follower of Jesus, you do what you do, whether anybody says thank you and notices or not. One day, Chloe was at school, and in the classroom, she was the last person to leave, and she saw on the floor somebody's purse. And she recognised it, because this person was a collector of key rings. So attached to their purse were loads of key rings. And the first thing she thought was, how on earth did they drop that? It's huge. But the next thing she thought is, I knows whose that is. So she picked it up and she walked after her. And when she saw her, she gave her the purse and walked away. Now, the person whose purse it was not the kindest person in Chloe's class. Wasn't the nicest person that she'd met. She just took the purse, nodded, and went back to talk with her friends. But Chloe did the right thing, though nobody noticed. And then one day, John walked into the kitchen with his mug and his plate. And he went to the sink to put his mug and his plate down, and the sink was full. So he thought, I know, I'll put it in the dishwasher. And he walked towards the dishwasher, and he opened the dishwasher, and guess what? It was full, and it was clean. So he thought, oh, all right then. He put his mug and his plate down, and he emptied it. And more than that, he took the things that were in the sink, because he now knew why they were in the sink, and picked them up and put them in the dishwasher and put his mug and his plate in the dishwasher too. And then he went out, got on with his day. And later on he came back in the house, and the house was busy and people were moving backwards and forwards, and Mum had loads of things to do, and so the day went on. And nobody even noticed that the dishwasher had been empty. And certainly nobody said thank you that the dishwasher had been empty. But John knew. He had helped. He had done what was right. Though nobody had said thank you. When you are a follower of Jesus, you do what is right, whether anybody notices or not, whether somebody says thank you or not, you do what is right because it is right. I'm going to sing, Father, I Place Into Your Hands. The reading that we're going to have is in two bits. The first bit, according to the writer of the Gospel according to Luke, the purpose of faith is to allow incredible things to happen, like forgiveness. And then the second bit of the reading, which is where I'm focusing today, evidence suggests that one third of the people in the Roman Empire were slaves. And no suggestion that the disciples either were slaves or owned slaves, but they would have been familiar with the privation of those people and their status. So John Arnold is going to read this passage to us.
This reading is from Luke chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. The first part is faith. The apostles said to the Lord, "Make our faith greater." The Lord answered, "If you had faith as big as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Pull yourself up by the roots and plant yourself in the sea,' and it would obey you." A servant's duty. Suppose one of you has a servant who is ploughing or looking after the sheep. When he comes in from the field, do you tell him to hurry and eat his meal? Of course not. Instead, you say to him, "Get my supper ready, then put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may have your meal." The servant does not deserve thanks for obeying orders, does he? It is the same with you. When you have done all that you have been told to do, say, "We are ordinary servants. We have only done our duty." Amen.
Amen. So focusing, as I said, on the second part of that reading, is God to be cast as a cross between one of those rude people in shops and some sort of surly teenager, not saying please and not saying thank you? Which I have to say, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's much of a selling point for the faith. But we've all had experience of people who, when you say to them, "Oh, thanks, thank you very much, thanks, yeah, that's really good, thanks, that's just, thank you, thank you, thank you." And then you hear back, you know, as things ripple back, that, she never said thank you, wasn't very grateful. And you think, so what am I meant to do? Open a vein and write it in blood, you know that. And so that you realise that in that exchange, actually, they weren't focusing on you and what you needed, but it was all about them. We believe that followers of Jesus Christ will do what is the will of the Lord because it is the right thing to do. We do it in response to love. God has come among us in Jesus and given everything, and we respond with our lives and we do our best. Not because of any reward, we do it because it is the right thing for us to do, and so it flows. And that is true for us as individuals, but it's also true for us as a church. Someone, not a member of this church, was describing this week, described Casey Knight Reformed Church as unique. And on reflection, I understood what he meant. We have got ourselves into the excellent place that when something happens in the town that needs to be responded to, and we think that maybe we have a contribution that we can make, our first instinct is to call some people together. Who can we work with? Who's already doing something about this? It's not, how can we set something up by ourselves? Our first question is always, who can we work with? Now, I know that all churches are unique. I know that all churches have got their special place in God's economy, and I'm not saying, hey, Kingston United Reformed Church, actually, we're the best. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that that is part of the truth that we have to offer. And I truly believe that in humbly doing what we believe to be right, we do what we believe to be right, whether it draws attention to Kingston United Reformed Church or not. We do it to the glory of God, so that God gets the glory. And so I have been in meetings where people have been talking about the street pastors and talking about how their organisation set it up and started it. And I, if somebody else in the room knows the story, we wink at each other and we say nothing. It's not helpful. So long as God is getting the glory, I don't care. And similarly, in our internal structure, as we'll come in a minute to explore the covenant, we are a United Reformed Church, which means we are not an independent congregational church. We are a church who works with the Baptists in Kingston and with All Saints, with St John's. That's how we are organised, and that is particularly celebrated next Sunday night, confirmation service. Come, please come, 6:30. John is being confirmed, as is Holly. That working together. And internally, in the elders and with the ministers, that we are not a separate cult gathering together for our own glory. That each of the elders has a special responsibility for various areas of the church's life, and together we view the whole thing. And the elders serve God through the work of the congregation. Now, all this might seem a bit tight and churchy to you. And for some people in our community, getting to worship on a Sunday morning is their contact with Kingston United Reformed Church. And for the rest of the week, people are busy doing what the Lord requires of them in their homes, in their voluntary work, in their paid employment, and still doing that which is right. And God is at the centre of that. And following Jesus Christ is what matters. And yes, of course, it's not right to hide the light of Jesus under a basket. But equally, we are not to be those who are so emotionally needy that we must draw attention to ourselves in all the good things that we do. We do what we believe to be right because God has come among us in Jesus. And so we do what is right, and it flows. And to God be the glory of that. And the place where we can really focus on that is the table. And Jesus took a basin and a towel and knelt and washed the disciples' feet. And he did that, scholars believe, because none of them would make themselves humble enough to do the work. Dirty, smelly work. Who wants to do that? Well, had to be done. Nobody else is doing it. Jesus did it. And he takes bread and he blesses it and he pours out wine. And he did it for love, calling us to love him in return. And he did it all so that we would enjoy a full and a joyous life. And what's that about? That is about giving our lives and living it out to God's glory. Thanks be to God. So let us be still. So if your legs will let you, I invite you to stand. And would you put the church covenant up, please, Stuart? If you want to use it, I believe it's in paper. So as you are, let us pray. O God, who calls us in Jesus not to be afraid, but to tell others the good news, confirm us in our love for you and in our dedication to your service, that we may be filled with new energy for the task of mission which you give us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We say together, we, the members of this church, acknowledge God to be our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, his Son, to be our Lord and Saviour. We commit ourselves above all to God and to one another to live in the unity of the Holy Spirit and in the order and love of a Christian church. We affirm our desire to follow the example and teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ by the guidance of the Spirit, and to witness to God's love and serve the world by consecration of our talents, time, and means. We acknowledge our church to be part of the United Reformed Church, to be in a local ecumenical covenant with All Saints Parish Church and Union Street Baptist Church. And by God's grace, we seek fellowship with all other Christian churches, praying and working for unity throughout the world. Will you please be seated? We join to pray. Gracious God, present in all creation, we pray for your world and your church. Awaken us to the pain of those in poverty, the distress of those in nations burdened by debt, the sick, the sorrowing, victims of violence and war, may we learn our common humanity with them and learn the art of finding Jesus in each sister and brother. Where your people have lost their way and fallen into decline or complacency, give them eyes to see and ears to hear your summons to mission. Where your church is vibrant and growing, give your people confidence to share with others the lessons they are learning. Give us courage and humour for what lies ahead. Bless all the Christian people who gather in the churches in the centre of Kingston. Those who are new among us, like Kingsgate Church, and those who are the most ancient of churches, All Saints. We ask for your blessing on John Bunyan Baptist Church and Union Street Baptist Church, particularly at this time where they examine their futures. And we ask that you would empower all those who work for good, whether they know you or not. Fill us with wisdom to face the world and childlike trust in the power and goodness of your ultimate purposes for all you have made. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. We offer to you, Lord Jesus, this money and the money that we keep for ourselves. The time that we offer to the institution of the church and the time that we spend in other ways, that all may be the work of your kingdom. For Jesus' sake, amen. An upper room did our Lord prepare. We join to sing. Every family, when it gathers to eat, has its own ways of doing things. And let me explain to you some of the ways that we do things as we gather at this table. The wine that you receive does not contain alcohol. If you are a person who has an allergy to gluten and to wheat, you will find that there is bread, but there also is biscuit for you. When the elders offer you bread, take a moment and then eat it. And when they offer you wine, hold it, for we will all drink together. If you would rather not receive, if the time is not right for you to receive, then simply pass the elements by. It's been great that you have been with us. Jesus was often a guest. He shared many meals with his friends. And afterwards, they long remembered the conversations at the table. Some people disapproved of the company that he kept, and Jesus ate and drank with all kinds of people. And Jesus showed everyone the love of God. Wherever people meet together, Jesus is glad to be welcomed. Today, we are the guests of Jesus. He welcomes us. Whoever we are, whatever we bring, he will feed us at his table. Old or young, rich or poor, joyful or in sorrow, Jesus invites us. So hear the narrative of the institution of this day. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God." We are the friends and disciples of Jesus today, and he invites us to break bread together, to remember him, and to pray that God's kingdom will come. Let us pray. Loving God, the world that you have made is beautiful and full of wonder. And you have made us with all your creatures, and you love all that you have made. You've given us the words of your prophets and the stories of your people through the generations. You have given us our life together as a church, the times of celebration and the times of challenge that we have come through together. You have given us people to love us and to care for us in this community and in a range of places. And you have given us Jesus to be born and to grow up. He embraced people with your love and told stories that will change us all. He healed those in pain and brought to life those who had been lost and had no hope. He suffered, he died, he was raised from the dead, and lives with you forever. And you give to us your Holy Spirit to teach and to strengthen us, to remind us of Jesus Christ, and that we are made one in him. For all these gifts we thank and we praise you. Blessing and honor, glory and power belong to you, our God, for now and forever. Amen. He offered his prayer of thanks. He took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body. It is broken for you." And he took the cup, wine poured out, and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. We will delay our mission no longer. We will live in ways that show those around us the good news of God's love in Jesus. We will demonstrate by our actions as well as by our words how much God longs for the healing and wholeness of the world. We will build one another up in love so that those who encounter our common life will find in our sharing a foretaste of God's kingdom on earth. We thank you for this table that empowers us to serve. Thanks be to you, O God. Amen. Our final hymn, which John Arnold has chosen for us, is 336. I'm sure John is getting us to sing Abide With Me in preparation for Newcastle winning the FA Cup this season. I think you're all with me on that one. So, Ray, it's a duet between you and me. 336, Abide With Me.
Thank you.
entrust to God our companions on the road, this place from which we journey, and the neighbours who will share our work of mission. And may the blessing of God, the Creator, the Christ, and the Spirit rest upon us now and always. Amen.